Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Find your place in Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue talking about spiritual disciplines. As we're talking about making disciples, we recognize that we have to be disciples before we can make disciples, or in order to make disciples. We've talked about some spiritual disciplines. We've learned about praying and fasting. We've learned about engaging in the Bible. We've learned about worship, and tonight we're going to talk about fellowship. Fellowship. So Acts chapter 2, if you find your place there, would you stand with me, please? Acts 2, verse 41 is where we're going to begin. Let's pray together one more time, and then we'll read. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together in the middle of the week that we can join together and pray for one another and with one another, that we can sing your praises, and I pray that you've been glorified in our song service. Lord, we thank you for Christ, for the cross. It's in the preaching of the cross that we have been saved. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And we rejoice in your goodness to us. I pray you'll bless your word now as we read it. As I try to preach it, I pray that you'll give grace, that you'll bless in spite of me. Lord, I pray that anyone hearing the message tonight who's never been saved, that they'll hear and believe the gospel and call on your name. Pray that all who do hear, who are saved, Lord, that you'll help us to apply these spiritual disciplines to our lives, that we can continue in your word as disciples indeed, that we'll bear much fruit for your glory. And Lord, that you'll give us both a will and a passion, a desire, and opportunity to help others, that we can take the things that you teach us and pass them on to others who will be able to teach others also, that disciples will be multiplied in this place to your glory. Please forgive, please bless, and help. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Acts 2:41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we're going to learn about fellowship, and this event, this record that we have here at the end of Acts chapter 2, you guys, most of you are familiar, but in case you're not, this is after the day of Pentecost. The Lord had told his disciples after his death, after his resurrection, after his appearance for 40 days, he had told them to go wait for him in Jerusalem. The Spirit was going to come and empower them, and that happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was a feast that happened every year in Israel, and it just happened that the Lord sent the Spirit on that day, and there's a whole lot to that we're not going to get into tonight, but just know this, that day the Spirit came and sat on each one of the disciples in the upper room. There were about 120 of them there, men and women. The Spirit came on every one of them. Every one of them went out preaching. They went out speaking the good news as God gave them utterance. And then we have a record of Peter's sermon that day. And as the people were like, "What is going on? This is crazy." And he preaches to them and he tells them that this is the prophecy that Joel gave, that God was going to pour out his Spirit in the last days. And the young men would dream dreams and the young women would have visions, and that the Spirit would be poured out. And that was what was going on. And he preaches to them Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, whom you crucified, God raised again, and it's through faith in him you can have eternal life." Amen. And so the people come. They're pricked in their heart. They're convicted, and they want to know what they need to do to be saved. And he tells them to repent and be baptized because their sins have been forgiven, for the remission of sins, because of the remission of sins. If they would believe and trust in Christ and be baptized, that God would give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what's going on. Many of them believed that day. They, verse 41, that gladly received his word, were baptized. The same day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And this great fear, and there was this great love, this spirit of giving. When people saw needs in others and they had more than enough, they would sell their possessions and give it to the church to provide for the needs of those who were there. And they continued daily with one accord. They were breaking bread from house to house. They had gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. And the Lord kept adding to the church those who were being saved. And it was just a glorious time. And what I want you to see is this event is a picture of biblical fellowship. Now, we're going to look at fellowship throughout the New Testament, but you're not going to find, in my opinion, a better picture of what fellowship is, because it's not, hold on, buckle up, it's not a potluck dinner.
Amen.
I mean, fellowship can happen at a potluck dinner. Amen? But when you're a Baptist and you grow a Baptist, you think that that's what fellowship is. Fellowship is when people bring fried chicken, casserole, and desserts. And those of us who are experienced in Baptist fellowship, we know that those of us who know how to do it go to the dessert table first. Amen? It's like the sign of a Baptist. I told you before about the show and tell at school. When Mary went to school and she took her crucifix and she said, "My name's Mary. I'm a Catholic. This is my crucifix." And a little boy named David, he brought his Star of David. He said, "My name's David. This is the Star of David. I'm a Jew." And Billy brought a casserole. He said, "My name's Billy. I'm a Baptist. This is a casserole." I mean, that's about how it is. And growing up, I thought that's what fellowship was. But I want to share with you some great truths about fellowship. The main word that's used in the New Testament has the idea of partnership or participation. It's also translated communicate or communion or distribution. There's a couple other words that are used sometimes, and they all have really similar meanings. One of them is to share, to be someone who shares or associates with, to be a partner or companion, to share in company with, to co-participate. I like that word. Co-participate, to participate together. That's what fellowship is participating together. And some things are borne out in some of the scriptures that give us this word fellowship. The first thing that we need to make sure that we understand tonight is fellowship is born out of our fellowship or our communion with God in Christ and in His Spirit. We have no fellowship with one another. We can have friendships with all kinds of people, but there's no true biblical fellowship unless the Spirit of God is in you and in the other person. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." We have fellowship in him. He goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" We call the Lord's Supper communion because it is us in union with Him. This is the word fellowship that we're talking about. The fact that we can observe Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper or communion is a demonstration that we've been made one in Him. We are joined together in Him. We have fellowship with God in Jesus Christ through His death and resurrection. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ephesians 3 and 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." And Paul's telling the saints at Ephesus about their relationship with God through Christ. And it's because of the fellowship that we have with Him and that all mankind has with Him, not just Jews, but Gentiles too, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, this fellowship, friends, it has to be through the Spirit of God that we have through faith in Christ. That's it. It has to be. There's no other way. 1 John chapter 1. Find 1 John chapter 1 with me real quick. We got a few verses here together to look at. Sometimes I have a hard time finding 1 John. So I have to go to 2 John and back up. First John, chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that good? And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, if you're in Jesus, he's made you a new creature. You have fellowship with God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit through the blood and the body of Jesus, which he gave up for you. Amen. And if that's true, then he's going to change you, and you're not going to keep walking in darkness, but you're going to walk in light. Not in order to be saved, but because you are saved. And when you do that, when you've been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're a new creature in Christ and you're walking in light because he is in the light, then not only do you have fellowship with God the Father, but you have fellowship with everyone else who's been born again. We have fellowship, and it's rooted in the gospel. It has to start there. So number one, fellowship is born out of our fellowship or our communion with God in Christ and his Spirit. Number two, fellowship is centered in the gospel. Philippians 1 and verse 5, when Paul writes to these believers, he says, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, I thank God for you and for your fellowship in the gospel. Amen. Now, we have fellowship with one another in this church. Amen. All right, let's try that one more time. We have fellowship with one another in this church. But I got great news. My fellowship isn't limited. Christian fellowship isn't limited to only people in this building. Amen. I have Christian fellowship with brothers and sisters all over the place. Amen. Because our fellowship isn't because we're in this building or in this town or even because we're committed to this membership, this local body of Christ. Our fellowship with other believers is the fact that we both have believed in the gospel of Jesus Amen. Christ. Our fellowship within the local church is special, and we're going to get into that. But I just want you to know it's a beautiful thing to have fellowship with anybody who's come to God through the gospel. And our fellowship has to be centered in the gospel. That's really important. I don't know if you are aware of this, but not everybody in this church agrees about everything. Well, that's pretty easy. Some of you are married to each other. You don't agree. Some of you have siblings in this church. You don't agree. We don't always agree with everybody on everything, but what we do agree on is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and our fellowship is centered on that. Amen. It's critical that we keep the gospel central to everything we do, because it is the love of God manifest to the world. It is what's brought us into fellowship with him. So fellowship is born out of our communion with God. Fellowship is centered in the gospel. Number three, fellowship is found in suffering. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Fellowship is found in suffering for Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 10. Most of you are somewhat familiar with what Paul goes on to say here. This is where Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You guys familiar with that a little bit? But back in verse 10, the part we don't like, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul had an understanding that to walk with Jesus and to follow Jesus and to live for Jesus and to have fellowship with Jesus meant that he was going to face suffering in this world. Why? Because he was following Jesus, and Jesus suffered. Amen. And Jesus taught his disciples that the servant is not greater than their Lord. Amen. And if the world hated him, they're going to hate you. Amen. And the more like him you are, the more you're going to suffer like he did. There is a fellowship in God. There's a fellowship in Christ, and it's born out of the gospel. It's born out of his death and resurrection for us. But listen, it was his death and resurrection. And there is a suffering that happens, but what a beautiful fellowship that we can have when we suffer for Christ. Some of our young people had a Bible study last night, and some of the things they talked about dealt with the suffering, and Peter talks about this, right? Listen, don't suffer like an evildoer. You guys remember that? Amen. Listen, sometimes you have suffering, and it's because you did dumb things that you shouldn't have done. Amen. Amen. You brought suffering onto yourself. Christians, don't suffer like that. Don't bring problems into your life. Don't do evil and have to face the consequences in suffering. But he says, if you suffer because of Christ, for the cause of Christ, happy are ye. Amen. Rejoice. You can be glad in those kind of sufferings. Amen. You can be beaten and thrown in the bottom part of the prison and put in stocks and sing praises to God when you suffer for the cause of Christ. So there's a fellowship in suffering. He talks about it again in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. And friends, that's where the joy of the suffering comes from. One, I'm suffering the way Jesus did. I'm suffering for him. And when we suffer because we're living like Christians, we can rejoice because we've been counted worthy to suffer for his name. Amen. But it's also because whatever sufferings I face in this life, I know they're nothing to be compared to what he has in store for those that love him. Amen. So the consolation, the hope that we have, looking forward. So fellowship is born out of our communion with God. It's centered in the gospel. It's found also in suffering. Number four, fellowship is to be continued along with doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers. We started here. We want to go back here for just a moment. In Acts chapter 2, they continued, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. It goes on to say that they had gladness and singleness of heart, that they had fellowship, they had breaking of bread from house to house. Now just think about this logically with me for a second tonight. Because how important, how vital is it for us to continue in the apostles' doctrine? Real important, not important at all. Amen. It's pretty important for us to continue in the apostles' doctrine, right? Amen. Okay, well, the Bible says that these newly saved and baptized, spirit-filled disciples in the church at Jerusalem in the very beginning, that these people continued not only in the apostles' doctrine, but also in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers and going house to house. Now, just think about this logically for a second. The reason they were able to preach the gospel to so many is because so many people were from all over the place in Jerusalem for Pentecost, and they got to hear the gospel preached, the Spirit of God moved, and they were born again that day, baptized in obedience to Jesus, and now they're continuing in that. They're continuing to learn from the apostles who continue to teach them, but there's over 3,000 of them. The fellowship, can you imagine cooking enough casseroles for that group? No, what they did was they divided up into smaller groups in houses. Friends, there's no other way that they did it. When it says that they continued from house to house, I promise you, 3,000 of them did not go from house to house. But they were able to have fellowship in smaller groups where they continued to be taught, they continued to learn, they continued to break bread together, they continued to fellowship together, and they continued to do that day after day after day, and God kept blessing and blessing and blessing. Fellowship is a critical component of being a disciple. Now, I don't know everything that looks like, but I'm gonna tell you this. I think that what we read here in Acts 2 is a beautiful picture of it, but I think that it's exactly what Jesus taught his disciples. Do you know what they did? Well, they walked around with Jesus, and they listened to Jesus preach and teach, and then they would sit down and share a meal with Jesus, and they would talk some more. He did it all through his ministry. When he called them from Galilee, led them around, brought them back, and then later he would come back and get them and take them around. They would go around Galilee. They would go around Perea. They would go to all these different places with Jesus, and they walked together, and they talked together. They listened to him preach, and then they got together with him, just him and them, and they continued to ask him questions and learn and grow. And you think they didn't eat together? We know that they did.
Amen.
You think that after his resurrection, when he saw him at the seashore of Galilee, and he had fish and bread on the fire, that was the first time he'd shared a meal with them? No, they had shared countless meals together, sat down, breaking bread, and fellowshipping together. They did it with Jesus constantly in his ministry. And when the apostles were used of God to expand the church at Pentecost and beyond, they did exactly with those new disciples what Jesus had done with them.
Amen.
What's the point? We need to spend time with each other. And there's not really a greater way for us to spend time together than to do it in our homes around a meal together.
Amen.
It ought to be that we see each other sometime between church services outside of these walls.
Amen.
It ought to be that some families get together and you can break bread and you can talk about the doctrines of the Word of God together. And then you can play dominoes. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I mean, I'm just saying. We can spend time together, and we can make sure it's centered around the gospel.
Amen.
And we can make sure that it's primarily about these things that we want to enjoy the goodness of God and have gladness and singleness of heart and continue in the doctrine. And we can break bread together too.
Amen.
And have gladness. I was thinking about this because you think about the fact that the disciples had just been in the upper room waiting, and probably around 10 days. From the time Jesus was crucified, rose again on the third day, spent 40 days, and then, according to the best I can understand the math, it was probably only about 10 days from the ascension to the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. You can check me out on that. But you remember that they were up in the upper room hiding because their rabbi had just been killed? Do you remember that they were probably afraid? But when the Spirit came, all that changed, and they were empowered, and they spake with boldness. And now they've got massive numbers of Christ followers in the temple every day. Yeah, trouble was going to come, and persecution was going to come, but they didn't let the sorrow of yesterday keep them from rejoicing today. And it was beautiful. So there was fellowship that continued. Fellowship that kept on going. And so here's my challenge to you practically. Listen, I know you guys are busy. We're all busy. But we've tried to create an opportunity every Sunday after the morning service. You can bring something to eat, or you can run grab something. You can come right back here in the fellowship hall and sit down with other people in the church and break bread together and enjoy fellowship together and talk about the things of God together. There's a built-in opportunity because, guys, you're going to go somewhere and eat anyway. You might as well eat with each other. Okay? And then I got an idea that pretty much all of you eat several meals every week. I'm not judging. I'm just making an assumption that everybody eats sometime. And it might be that you're going to go to the restaurant and you just call somebody from the church and say, hey, we're going to go to the restaurant. You want to go with us? Or it might be, hey, we're going to have a really expensive meal at the house. We're going to cook some hot dogs or glizzies, as some of you people call them. And you guys want to come over and have some with us? Listen, it doesn't have to be elaborate, but we need to spend time together outside of church.
Amen.
Fellowship. It's part of it. It's more than that. So let me give you number five. Fellowship indicates partnership.
Amen.
Fellowship indicates partnership. And I love this, the way God's word uses it. Luke chapter 5 and verse 10. Luke 5, verse 10. It says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Okay, in Luke 5, it's another account where Jesus calls these men, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," okay? He's saying that these guys were partners together. What did they do together? Before Jesus called them, they fished. They were fishermen, and they worked together. They were partners together. They were in different boats. They had their own nets. They had all the different equipment, but they worked together to do this business of fishing. And Jesus goes to them and says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." And you know what? He didn't just call Peter, but he called Andrew, and he called James, and he called John, and he called Matthew, Levi. And he had already called Philip a long time ago, and Nathaniel. And he called all of these different people, and he called them, and you're partners together in this business. I'm going to make you partners together in my business. I'm going to make you partners. You've been working together catching fish. Now you're going to work together catching men. And what a great picture. How did they do that? Man, they had to toil together. They had to work together. These men, they mended their nets together. They had to work meticulously to tie their nets back together, to fix the holes. They had to go out, and many times they would go out and they would fish all night long. They'd take that net and they'd throw it out. They'd let it sink and they'd haul it back in. And they would throw it back out again and they would haul it in. And I promise you, it was difficult work. And they had to work together to pull the nets in. They had to labor together to keep things going. And Jesus called these men because they understood. I think part of the reason is because they understood what it meant to work together. Amen. This business of making disciples takes partnership. It requires working together. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8, 23. Says, "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ." Now, Paul would talk about a lot of different people. He would talk about Timothy and Titus, and he would talk about all kinds of different fellow laborers and fellow helpers, both men and women. And what was he saying? These people are partners together. We always talk about Paul. We look at Paul and all the great things that God did through him, and rightly so. But friends, Paul was never alone in any of that. He had partners with him, and that's what fellowship is. It's not just sharing a meal together. It's going and doing the work together. It's fishing together. You know, one of the reasons when we do outreach, we try to pair people up, at least in pairs. Well, that's the way Jesus did it. He sent them out two and two. But not only that, but we just understand that biblically, that's the way the gospel went into the world most of the time, is people going together. There were two or three or four or more who went on these missionary journeys, who went and took the gospel. And so we work together. We don't go on our own. And when we go out into our community to take the gospel, when we do evangelism, we go and preach the gospel, when we go, whatever you guys want to call it, door knocking, soul winning, whatever label you want to give it, when we go together so that we can fish together. Because that's the way Jesus designed it. We labor together outside preaching the gospel. We're partners together in the work, and we labor together inside. We do the work of the ministry together. We pray together. We serve together. We help others together. We do the work together as partners. Fellowship indicates partnership. Number six, fellowship involves giving. Fellowship involves giving. We already saw that in Acts chapter 2. The people who had plenty, they sold their possessions and they gave to the people who didn't. That's fellowship. The word fellowship is sometimes translated contribution or distribution. The word itself, all by itself, has the idea of giving. Romans chapter 15 and verse 26. Romans 15, 26 says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution." That's the word fellowship. "For the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So fellowship has to do with giving. It has to do with taking out of the abundance God has given you, and even sacrificially from what God has given you, to meet the needs of others. That's fellowship. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4. praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. These people had asked Paul to take up a love offering, to take the money they had given and give it to those who were in need. So it has to do with giving and contribution. There's other verses you can look up later. 2 Corinthians 9:14, Hebrews 13:16, Philippians 4 and verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul talked about the church at Philippi. He said, nobody else sought to meet my needs in giving and receiving, but you only, because they had fellowship with him through giving. So there's giving. So fellowship is born out of our communion with God in Christ. 2, fellowship is centered in the gospel. 3, it's found in suffering. It's continued along with doctrine and breaking of bread and prayers. It indicates a partnership and involves giving. And 7, fellowship should not be kept with unrighteousness or darkness. There are warnings in the scriptures throughout that we would not have fellowship with unrighteousness. We already read it in 1 John. We have no business fellowshipping with the works of darkness. We shouldn't continue in the works of darkness. He tells us the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye have fellowship with devils. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You know, when you get saved, you're probably going to lose some friends the more you walk with Jesus. And partly that's going to be their choice, and partly it should be your choice. Because we don't have fellowship with the works of darkness. We don't have communion. We don't have communion with unrighteousness. Our communion was with Christ. Our communion is with those who are in the gospel. So we need to be careful that our fellowship is with the right people. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I just spent a long time telling you that we ought to go preach the gospel to the lost. I'm not saying that we never interact with lost people. I'm saying that our communion, our partnership, our joining together, that's with believers, not unbelievers. Amen. 8, fellowship involves encouraging others. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and that they unto the circumcision. You know, most of the time when I think of fellowship, I think about being together, having a meal together, working together, laboring together, preaching the gospel. I think about being together, but the reality is in Christ, our fellowship doesn't have to be in the same room at the same time. Amen. We have fellowship with others who are doing the work of God in other places. Amen. They gave the right hands of fellowship. What does that mean? It means that these people gave a blessing. They commended them to the grace of God and the ministry that God had called them to. I have fellowship with brothers all over the place because our fellowship is in the gospel. And though we're not in the same room at the same time, we have the same heart and desire. And so we have fellowship in the gospel, even if we're in another town or another state or another country. We can have fellowship together. So it involves encouraging and commending others to the grace and ministry God has called them to. And guys, this was hard in Paul's day. Paul and Barnabas would get that right hand of fellowship, and they would leave. They would ride on an animal or walk out of town. They would get on a ship and sail somewhere. They would be gone for months or years on end, and they would never get the chance to see each other for a long, long time, only getting to communicate by letter, maybe months or years apart, but they had fellowship together. So how much more should we have fellowship with others in other places today when it's so easy? When you can get on that phone in your pocket and communicate with somebody on the other side of the world in seconds. We ought to fellowship with others, and that fellowship isn't limited by space. Number nine. I'll give you one more, and then I'm going to quit. Number nine. Fellowship is fulfilled in partaking of Christ's glory by his grace. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Amen. That word partaker right there, that's our word fellowship. In Christ, you're a partaker of his glory. He goes on and says again in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And there it is again, our word, partakers, that's fellowship. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by those promises you can be a partaker of the divine nature. That's the glorification that God has in store for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. So fellowship is fulfilled in partaking of Christ's glory by his grace. In other words, we get to enjoy fellowship here. Fellowship in breaking bread together, fellowship in partnering together, working together, fellowship in suffering together, partnership in giving and contributing to others' needs, fellowship in encouraging others in the work that God's called them to do. So we have fellowship, all of these things that's also ultimately fulfilled when we get to fellowship with Christ in glory. Amen. That's what we do here is all leading to. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. We're going to finish tonight with these thoughts. When we're born again by faith in Christ, we have communion with Christ and with others who are in Christ. God places us together to do the work of the ministry in fellowship with each other. And we ought to continue, not only in doctrine, but in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers, in giving, in serving, in praising, in suffering and encouraging, in avoiding darkness and longing together for the glory that's to come when Christ returns. We do it together. We do it as brothers and sisters in Christ as we fellowship together in the gospel. Fellowship is what a disciple does. If the Lord's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.